Well, today we are finishing up our series of messages on our core values, and today we're going to be looking at the fourth of the core values. So if you have your bookmark, you'll find it listed there. It's bringing heaven on earth, and today we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. A book I read many years ago by a very influential kind of a visionary prophet of sorts. His name's Reggie McNeil. And Reggie, in his book, Kingdom Come, suggests that for decades, the church has been focused on trying to fix the church and to grow the church. That those have been our primary emphasis. And he suggests that what we really need to do is to make a priority. What we need to make a priority is to partner with God in His redemptive mission in the world and let the overflow of that effort bring about the renewal that we're looking for in the church. In other words, by focusing on growing the church and fixing the church, we do a little bit of navel gazing. Are y'all familiar with that term? We're focused on ourselves. We're focused on an institution. But rather, what we need to be focusing on is the mission of God and what God has called the church in existence to do. And that is to participate in His redemptive work in the world. It's time for the church to get over its self-absorption and self-centeredness and adopt the larger and more compelling story of God's kingdom as our reason and our mission in this world. Amen. All right, we got an amen out there. All right, Jackie said she was going to plant a few amens to kind of loosen y'all up this morning. So that was the first one. All right, we're trying to get y'all warmed up a little bit and responding to the preaching a little bit. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. I see how it's going to be now. All right. So the kingdom of God, that's what we need to be focused on. Not the church necessarily, but God's kingdom and our participation in bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, Reggie defines the kingdom of God. I love how he defines it. He says, it's the life that God intends for us all to experience on this planet and in this lifetime. It's just simply the life that God has always intended for His people to enjoy. It's the abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John 10:10 when He says, I have come to give you life and to give you life abundantly. The story of God's kingdom in the Bible is the grand and heroic narrative of what God has done, what God will do to bring about His full and complete restoration of everything. And that brings us to this story this morning. You know, Jesus has a way of saying an amazing amount of truth in just a few short words. You know, preachers should probably pay more attention to the way Jesus preached. Say more with fewer words. You know, my people believe that around here, so they put a clock up on that back wall. And every morning I stare up there at it and I'm just like, I can't hardly see it though, y'all. That's part of the problem. It's so small up there. But in Matthew 13, Jesus gives us five parables in 30 seconds. I mean, they are firing at us. And in less than a minute, we receive five insights into the kingdom of God that would probably take me a month of Sundays to unpack all of them. But today we're just going to focus in on one of these parables. Let's take a look at the woman baking the bread. Just like the other four, it's quick and it's to the point. Russell, with a voice like that, we probably should have had you read more scripture this morning. But here's the point Jesus makes. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Now you hear this parable, and right away you can sense what the point is. He says, like yeast transforms dough, the kingdom of God transforms the world. That's certainly the essence of this parable. But there's more to it that we don't get, because we don't measure things like they did back in Jesus' day. Jesus says this woman puts yeast in 3 measures of flour. All right, that sounds good, but how much is that? I mean, how much flour is 3 measures? Is it 3 cups? Is it 3 pounds? Well, as it turns out, 3 measures of flour is 80 pounds of flour. That's enough flour for us to make communion bread to last us 10 years. That's a lot of bread. So to turn that amount of flour into dough, guess how much water you need? 10 to 12 gallons of water. So when this woman gets ready to bake her bread, she's got a mass on her hands that she's working that's the size of a bathtub. I mean, what in the world is this woman baking? I mean, how many people is she trying to feed here? Now, how does she mix all of this up? Does she have like one of those big mixers on a stand with a bowl that holds like 10 gallons? I mean, does she have a KitchenAid mixer that she plugs in and just keeps adding to it throughout the day until she's mixed all this up? I mean, this isn't Paula Deen mixing up a few tarts for her babies. This is a real woman, and she could hold her own in a WWF SmackDown. I mean, imagine the size, the arms and hands of this lady trying to mix up this amount of dough. So here's this big, giant lump of dough, and down in the middle of it is this yeast that she uses to leaven the dough. Now, you notice that Jesus tells us how much flour she uses, but he doesn't tell us how much yeast she needs to put in that dough to leaven it. How much do you think it would take? Now, I'm not a baker. Now, I'm pretty good with eggs and bacon, but beyond that, I'm a failure. I know that you use more flour than you use yeast. Would that be a good assumption? Does 10 pounds of yeast sound about right to 80 pounds of flour? That's ridiculous, isn't it? That's a little bit extreme. Well, I did what any reasonable person would do when they want to know something. They Google it, right? So I Googled it. How much yeast would it take to leaven 80 to 100 pounds of dough? You know what the answer was? 4 to 6 ounces. Guys, that's about the size of your wallet that you have in your back pocket this morning. Ladies, that's about the size of your lip gloss that you have in your purse. A tiny bit of yeast, just the slightest little amount, can transform 100 pounds of dough. What does that tell you? It tells me that yeast is some pretty powerful stuff. It can do amazing things. Just the tiniest amount can do astonishing things. And this is exactly the point that Jesus is trying to make. Just a little pinch of dough or of yeast can transform this giant lump of dough. The tiniest bit of the kingdom of God can transform a human soul, even the world. If just the tiniest bit of God's kingdom gets inside of us, it can do amazing things. Where there was once darkness, there's light. Where there was once despair and hopelessness, there can be joy and newness of life, a new start. Where there's fear, there can be peace. Where there's hatred, there can be love. Let me tell you a story to make the point a little clearer to us. Have you ever heard of Sarah Dickey? Kyle, you should be raising your hand back there. Yep, some of y'all know Sarah Dickey. Well, I want to share just a bit of her story with you so you can see the point that Jesus is making in this parable. So, years ago, I was at seminary in Kentucky, and I was perusing through the bookstore off campus where we would go and buy used textbooks. And as I was looking over the shelf, just walking around, I found this book. The title of this book is Dauntless in Mississippi, The Life of Sarah A. Dickey. And of course, being from Mississippi, the book just jumped off the shelf. And so I bought the book and I went home and read it. Now this was in 2004. So 20 years ago, I discovered the story of this lady. And she is a part of the history of Clinton, Mississippi. Now, I had no idea that I would ever come to this church 20 years ago. But I read the book and I was amazed by her story. And then I got to looking around and Dr. Walter Howell wrote an article for the Mississippi Archives and History about Sarah Dickey in 2006. You can still find the article online. And so Sarah Dickey was a lady who was born in Ohio. And when the Civil War began in 1861, after the Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in Mississippi and throughout our nation, the Church of the United Brethren sent Sarah Dickey along with two other teachers to Vicksburg to teach freedmen. Their mission was this, quote, provide books and instruction for the mind and the gospel of Christ for the soul. Now, Dickey and her colleagues, they operated this school in Vicksburg for emancipated enslaved people for 19 months. And although the attendance was irregular, more than 300 students, mostly adults, attended this school, where a majority of them learned to read and write. Now, when the end of the Civil War came, Dickey decided to go back to school to become better at teaching. And so she went off to Massachusetts to enroll at Mount Holyoke, which was one of the most famous institutions in America for training teachers at that time. Now, when she finished, she came back to Mississippi to take a position with the American Missionary Association down in Raymond, Mississippi, where she continued to teach. Now, after a series of other events, She came to Clinton and started teaching here. Now, Dr. Howell tells us that Dickey's presence in Clinton was quite troublesome. He says local white people would not rent to her because of the purpose of her employment, to teach black women. She was eventually able to rent a room from Senator Charles Caldwell, who lived here in Clinton. He was a leader in the local African-American community. We're also told by Dr. Howell that Dickey was also shunned by white Clintonians when she attended the local Methodist church. That's you. And she was harassed by students who attended nearby Mississippi College when she walked down the streets of our community. Imagine that. Dickey taught at Clinton School for a year before a lack of funding forced its closure. She was frustrated, but she learned of the pending sale of a piece of property just outside the city limits here in town, where an antebellum called Mount Hermon Seminary was located. Sarah believed that God had called her to this work and wanted her to build a seminary for African-American females in Clinton, modeled on Mount Holyoke, where she had gone to school. So she began to travel the country between Ohio and Massachusetts by rail, raising funds to start this school for black women. She was eventually able to raise enough funds, and Senator Caldwell persuaded others to donate to her cause. And so she came and opened this school right here in our community in 1875. But during that year, a riot broke out, causing its delay. And you can read about the Clinton Massacre, which was this riot where about 30 people were killed, 30 to 50 African Americans were killed at a rally right here in our community. So Dickey wrote to President Ulysses S. Grant about what was happening here. And at the age of 66, Dickey abruptly died after an illness. And following her death, the Clarion Ledger in Jackson wrote about her. And the headline of the article was this: Miss Sarah Dickey, dead. Principal of a Negro school near Clinton. She had labored under many difficulties, but overcame them all. Sarah Dickey's legacy to the people of Clinton is immeasurable. She helped to educate hundreds of teachers who took their training into the later segregated public schools of our city and state by teaching the next generation of African American students. Her work can also be recognized by a proud African-American community in Clinton known as Dickeyville. And there is a state historical marker commemorating Sarah Dickey's life on the property of Sumner Hill Junior High School. It is dedicated by the city of Clinton to this remarkable woman of faith. Kyle and Kelly Keith's property butt up to the property where Sarah Dickey had her school. And her grave is still there. You can visit it. Right, Kyle? Kyle says he goes and visits with her quite often when he takes a walk out there on that property. Y'all, what an amazing story, right? Y'all, this story is about the power of the kingdom of God working through the life of one soul and the difference that it has made. Y'all, it reminds me that there's no limit to what God can do. It only takes an ounce or two to do miraculous things. You know, if just the tiniest bit of the kingdom of God gets shed abroad in our hearts and gives us a vision of what God wants to do, there's nothing that can stop it. I'm just wondering, is that the heartbeat and the desire of this church? Is it your heart? To get in alignment with the work of God's kingdom. Y'all, this gathering here in this room today tells us great things about God. It tells us of the depth of His transforming power to bring strangers, black and white, old and young, together as brothers and sisters in Christ. This gathering also reminds us of our history that has been shaped by the lives of people like Sarah Dickey, whose faith in God led her to do courageous things. Her history tells me that there is hidden deep within the soul of our community a power that transcends darkness, hate, and hopelessness. Let me ask you, can you imagine our community without the presence and influence of the kingdom of God? I can't even imagine our community without the presence of the church, without the presence of Christians working and laboring to see God's kingdom come on earth as in heaven. You know, Jesus came preaching about this kingdom. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. The parable says, because the kingdom is here, change is possible. The message of the kingdom influences lives that in turn shape the life of the world around them. We are here. Our mission, our purpose, is to serve the mission of God in bringing up there, down here, right now. And when God, and when the church, that's us, when we join God in that mission, the nation, the church, the community is leavened with the goodness and the grace of God. And so Jesus calls us to always be seeking this work, because He invited us to pray, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to pray that the kingdom will first break into our hearts and then break out into the world around us to bring transformation, to bring life change, to bring the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, to make life good for everybody. To bring hope where there's hurt. And to bring a better world into existence. Even though we face immense problems, we are not powerless to do anything about them. All it takes is for you to get a little bit of vision, a little bit of clarity about what it is God is calling you to do to participate in this mission. And because the kingdom of God is here, our church is here. And we exist for God's mission. When the kingdom is present, there exists a force for good, a moral compass to guide us in our darkness and to give the hope of salvation. Y'all, there is more for us to do. What do you think is possible if we seek first the kingdom of God? What's possible? Can you imagine? I can imagine. I can see the light of Christ shining. I can see a group of people working together in unity, seeking first the kingdom of God collectively, so that we can transform our community. Would you join with me as we pray the Lord's Prayer again? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We're now going to close out our service by singing together hymn number 311, Open My Eyes That I May See. And that's our prayer today, that the Lord would open our eyes and help us to see, to help us to join Him in bringing the kingdom of earth on heaven, to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Let us stand, let us sing together.